The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We're back. Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino, AM 870. The Answer.
There are reports that First American Financial Corporation exposed close to a billion digitized mortgage documents containing highly personalized information. The security news site Krebs on Security reports a breach of about 885 million documents, putting bank account numbers, and statements, and mortgage and tax records and Social Security numbers at risk. Well, joining us to talk about this is Stan Stahl. He is kind of our expert around here when it comes to all things cyber and cyber security. And he is from Citadel Information Group, where he is the president and CEO. Stan, thank you so much for being with us.
Larry, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me again on your show.
This sounds like a big one, if it's true.
Yeah. It is. It's one of those big, enormous disasters, cyber disasters, if you will. One thing to just be very clear about at the same time, the difference between an exposure of information on the internet, which is bad, don't want to diminish the potential impact of it, and a breach, which is actually the theft of all of that information. And I distinguish that because what the situation illustrates is that the information was left exposed. Anybody who had knowledge of where to go and look for it, which includes a lot of customers as well, could have gotten all of that information, but there's no evidence that, not to date at least, that anybody actually did get that information. Consequences are still severe. This is not to diminish that, but it is to make the important point that we're finding regularly now lots of information just left unprotected on the web, and it's found and properly called out that there's this information left exposed.
Right.
Let's go, get it locked up, so to speak, if you will. But there's no evidence that it's been stolen.
Yeah, in this particular case,
the hands of bad guys.
In this particular case, Krebs reports that all this information could be seen without authentication by anyone with a web browser. And I'm not real technical here, but that means essentially, like, if you go to the internet and you go to somebody's website, I guess on the top bar there where you type in, if you did a backslash and you were able to put other things up there, you might see some pages that really don't show up on the main page of the website but exist, right?
That's correct, yeah. And good, if we could get technical for just a second, let's say I'm a customer. So I get an email with a link to the site, and it's got a https://, yada, yada, yada. And then it'll have a long string of numbers that indicates, that's my particular record. The mistake that was made is that if you look at the numbers, let's say it was 19876, well, somebody says, okay, well, let's try 19875. Well, there's somebody else's information. Let's try 19874. Oh, that's also somebody's information. So you could simply, by sequence, go through and get everybody's information.
Okay.
And that's a coding error. That's a mistake, and it's a well-known mistake in coding. Sadly, it's not that uncommon to make, particularly since some of this data apparently goes back 15 years or so when secure development practices were not as prevalent as they are now. So those kinds of mistakes are out there regularly to be found. But you have to still go looking for it that way, to find it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And so really, if it's done right, if somebody types that other sequence, it should take you back into some sort of login screen where you have to provide an email and, you know, a password to get in to get to the next person's stuff. It shouldn't just let you in there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the modern way of coding, and again, we're going to get a little bit technical right here, is that you randomize those numbers so that there's no sequential ability to just try one number, the next number, the number before it, is that everybody's information, the link to everybody's information has a different random number.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. If it's not a stolen situation, how would this end up in light of the legislation that has been passed in California that's supposed to kick in January? Put on your analytical hat here and help me understand that. Would this be considered something that's actionable under that definition? Or since it's not really stolen, it really wouldn't be?
You just asked one of those million-dollar questions, Larry, that we don't know the answer to that yet. We're going to have a webinar, We Secure the Village, a week from Thursday, June 6th. On this, it'll be our third webinar on the California Consumer Privacy Act. The first two are already online at securethevillage.org. This will be the third. And this is one of those open questions. I don't think, I can't speak as an attorney, but I don't think the law is clear on what constitutes a breach. There's not a hack in the sense that, we know Marriott was hacked. We know the Democratic National Congressional Campaign was hacked. Yeah, these are hacks. These are breaches. Somebody criminally got in from the outside and stole information. In those cases, the law is clear. So it's the California Consumer Privacy Act covers those kinds of things. This is like an inadvertent disclosure. It's like you forget to lock the front door of your house, or you leave a window in the back open and unlocked, as opposed to, having certain knowledge that somebody's actually walked into the house and stolen something. Those are, and the laws, as I say, I don't think it's at all clear on this stuff. We're going to be in for a fun time starting January 1st with these kinds of issues. Backing up from the law, though, it's, I think, a clear indication why, as consumers now, it becomes more important than ever that we freeze our credit information so that even if the bad guys do have all of this stuff, let's assume worst case that cyber criminals, in fact, discovered this and have been exploiting this information for even decades, the defense for we consumers freeze our credit.
Yeah. There has been a lot of bank activity where they have been sending people replacement credit cards recently. I know this because different people I know, not related, are getting them. People who aren't really connected, and they're getting their credit card replaced well before the expiration date. And they're getting these letters that say there has been a compromise somewhere, but we're not going to tell you where, but we're going to replace your card. Is there stuff going on, Stan, out there that these big banks are quickly trying to react to? And are they telling us the whole story? Is it part of these really big things that are going on? Or is it pretty much, if anybody has a credit card and you shop at five or six places each week, there's a pretty good chance that one of those is compromised and you're going to get a new card. What do you think is going on?
So first, there's a lot of stuff that the credit card companies they don't tell you. One of the ways they discover a breach, besides Ryan Krebs calling them up and saying, "Hey, we're seeing stuff here," there's a whole strategy, defensive strategy, where when you begin to see credit card fraud, you start looking at what might be the common points of purchase of all these card numbers. Where might all of these fraudulent cards have been used legitimately prior to the fraud? If there's a common store, a common location, a common website that they all visited and shopped at, and then the fraud occurred, you can begin to get an idea of, oh, that's the place that was the source of the fraud. The credit card companies try to keep this stuff secret and in private. They don't like to share. They don't share that, except with the vendors whose sites have been compromised or whose stores have been compromised. It's part of the way the payment card industry works.
Do you like that, or do you think there should be some disclosure? I mean, you know, if I shop at XYZ department store and they have practices that are so poor that they got hacked, why shouldn't I know?
Well, and you're right. You can make a very strong case that when the credit card companies have an indication of a store having been breached, that they have a responsibility to the public to make that information public, make that available. Certainly, if not to the public, at least to the various states' attorney generals who have, in states where there are breach disclosure laws, which I think now finally we have that in all 50 states, although I'm not 100% sure of that.
Every once in a while you get a letter like from a health company that you had, you know, insurance company from years ago, mm-hmm. that says that they were included in a breach, and they all have the same thing. And I've gotten a few of these over the years. And we're including 2 years of credit monitoring free. And you ever get those letters?
Mm-hmm. Always. And regularly,
So that means that these hacks have become so frequent, most of us are probably eligible for free credit monitoring.
Yeah, we certainly are. But again, let's distinguish between free credit monitoring. Oh, somebody's stolen my credit card. Somebody's used it illegitimately. Now I got to go track it down, versus a credit freeze, where even if they have your social security number and your credit card numbers, et cetera, and all of that, they still can't open up credit in your name.
Yeah, you're a big advocate of doing a credit freeze. It'll slow you down if you walk in on a Saturday afternoon and want to buy a car. It may slow you down a little while when you go to the finance office. But other than that, if you remember to turn it back on or notify them, you've got a freeze going, let's walk this through. It's a pretty good deal, isn't it?
Oh, very good, particularly now that it's totally free. Used to be, $5, $10, whatever it was, to turn it on, to turn it off. Although not for seniors in California. I mean, the laws are all over the place on this. But since several months ago, last year, Congress passed and the president signed the bill that makes credit freezes free.
Well, with that, gotta leave it there. Boy, the time flies. Stan Stahl, Citadel Information Group. I got 10 seconds. What's the website and getting that weekly update on all the different cyber crimes?
So, yes, Secure the Village, securethevillage.org. We've got every month our webinar series on it. Citadel itself, my company, Citadel Information Group, citadel-information.com.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.